You know, for a long time, I meant to try Pete's Coffee, but just never gave it a chance. But ever since I did, I have a hard time settling on anything less.
And there's something to say about a coffee company with such rich history and devotion to bring you that perfect brew.
Since Alfred Pete opened his first coffee bar in 1966, Pete's has selectively sourced the finest beans in the world, carefully calibrating each roast by hand and crafting each beverage with the utmost care.
Pete's aims to produce fresh from the roaster's coffee delivered directly to your door, sourcing the top 1% of coffee beans, roasted by hand to unlock each bean's potential, and delivering it to you fresh to bring you the perfect cup.
With over 30 flavor varieties in both gourmet coffees and teas, like Vietnam Lotus Bold, Major Dickinson's Blend, and Arabian Mocha Java, you are sure to find the right flavor to start your day. And they even come in K-Cups for those of you who live life on the go.
Check out all the varieties of Pete's has to offer by following the link in the show notes below.
And starting August 30th, you can take advantage of their Labor Day sale and get yourself 20% off anything on their site by using promo code LABORDAY20 at checkout. This offer is valid through September 5th. That's promo code LABORDAY20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase this Labor Day.
But why not do one better? Use promo code NEWSUB30 at checkout and you get yourself 30% off of a new subscription to Pete's Coffee. That's right. All the delicious coffee you could want delivered right to your door each and every month without you ever having to worry about running low. What more could you ever need? That's promo code NEWSUB30 for 30% off your subscription.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Grindhouse, where we drink coffee and talk about movies. My name is Sean Tatro, and today with my girlfriend and co-host Leah Diana, we will be winding back the reel to 1980. A man's best friend is killed on the streets of New York City. The man then transforms into a violent killer, turning New York City into a great war zone. And Christopher George is the only man who can stop him. In The Exterminator. Let's get into it.
In war, you have to kill to survive. On the streets of New York, the choice is the same. For the Exterminator. Search is on. The police are chasing a killer who's not only smarter than they are, he's doing their job.
That's what it's like to be a victim.
The Exterminator. The man they pushed too far.
Spread the word, you dirty cocksuckers. Tell all your grave robbing friends I want them out of the city now!
The nightmare of insane murder.
From the depths of hell.
The monster, the angel of death.
When you think of Exterminator, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I mean, generally, bugs, getting rid of a problem.
Squirrels?
Squirrels. In our case, squirrels.
Would you think it was a PTS-riddled Vietnam vet with a complex of not wanting his best friend to go anywhere?
No, not that wouldn't be my first guess.
Mm-mm. But somehow, this was still better than the Val Kilmer movie from last year.
We watched a Val Kilmer movie last year?
Oh, Jean-Claude. God damn, they look alike. They're the same person.
Hard target.
Yeah, they're the same person. So this gave me that vibes without the bullshit that Hard Target was. The 90s BS bullshit.
I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. However, this one to me felt a lot more like a direct ripoff of Death Wish.
Okay. But Death Wish was actually good.
Death Wish was very good. This, I can't say that I didn't enjoy this one.
No, that's true.
I think it has a lot of issues, which we will get into.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it's a fun watch.
This was definitely one of those ones where I was like, I'm not looking forward to seeing this because it's an actual grindhouse action movie. But I was actually very, like, in deep with it. I was like, what's going to happen? I did end up very much enjoying this.
Leah enjoyed an action film?
Yeah, and I wasn't high.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get too far into today's episode,
mm-hmm.
we can't go on without talking a little bit about our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we've said before, Pete's Coffee is something we've been drinking a lot of recently, and this week we actually started finally trying the Big Bang flavor, which is, it's supposed to be a very bold flavor, very smooth and balanced in richness. This one's a medium dark roast, or is this a light roast? I can't remember.
I think this is the medium roast, because the Major Dickinson's the dark roast?
Yes, Major Dickinson was the dark roast. This is a medium roast. We always get it in whole bean, but it also comes in ground and K-cups, really whatever your style of coffee drinking, they have something to fit the bill.
Yes.
You aren't limited to these two flavors. Through Pete's, you can get tons of different options, including Italian roast, Arabian Mocha Java, organic French roast, so many others. The list is insanely long. If I sat here, I'd probably be here for an hour.
Oh, God, yeah. I've actually recently gone back to work. Yay! and every morning, Sean makes me a big old cup. Or 8 ounces, because I can't really drink that much coffee, of coffee, and it has been the Big Bang this week. And it's really, really good. I don't take a lot in my coffee, just like a pump of like the Skinny Jordan stuff, depending on what flavor we have in the house. And it is really good. And actually, for the first time in months, 3 times this week, I finished my coffee.
I'm so proud of you.
It doesn't seem like a huge feat, but it is for me. And honestly, every time we go to the store, oh, you want another bag of Pete's? Like, we try to get a lot of other coffees, but there's always a bag of Pete's in the house.
Yeah, we try to keep it around because it's one of our go-tos now. It's one of our absolute favorite coffee companies. And I keep trying to try different flavors whenever I find them. But I'm really, really considering signing us up for one of their subscription plans.
I think we should do it.
And you, as our listeners, can too. If you follow the link down in our show notes, you can get yourself 30% off any new subscription and use promo code NEWSUB30 when you check out. These subscription plans, I believe they allow you to choose basically any of the flavors that you want to try out.
Yeah.
And that gives you like a whole month's worth of coffee just to experiment with. I'm excited to do it.
I'm excited to branch out in this new year with new options for coffee. There's thousands out there, but definitely Pete's is one we're sticking with.
Absolutely. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
But I guess we should probably get back to the movie.
Oh, yeah. We should go back to this. Woo! Anyways.
So this week, as we said, we watched The Exterminator, which is a 1980 American vigilante action film. This one was written and directed by James Glickenhouse, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And it stars the infamous Robert Ginty, co-stars Samantha Eggar, Christopher George, and Steve James. This movie was originally released September 10th, 1980. It was made on a budget of only $2 million.
Oh, damn.
And it brought in a box office of $35 million overall.
Holy shit.
Yes, so this one was quite the little success. I wouldn't say $35 million is a monumental success, but considering its budget, it was quite a win. And given the fact that the budget was only $2 million for this thing, it's kind of even funnier because the Vietnam sequence that this movie starts off with cost around 400,000 of that $2 million.
Damn. So, and that was like maybe 10 minutes.
That's about 20% of the movie's overall budget. That's crazy.
Damn.
Now, we actually watched this movie on VHS.
Yep.
We have the Embassy Home Entertainment release, which I believe, I don't think this is the original release of the movie. I think it's the same company, but I don't think it's the...
You think it's a re-release?
I think it might be a secondary release because I've seen some of the other posters and they have a different tagline on the front of it. So I could be wrong. This might be the original release. I would have to do more digging on that.
Maybe the theater release had a tagline that was different from what's on the box.
It's possible. But I think this brings us into our new back of the box segment here.
Woo-hoo.
Which, so we've got the Exterminator front cover just says the man they pushed too far.
Okay.
So starting at the top here, in a war, you have to kill to stay alive. On the streets of New York, it's often the same. Get a front row seat for revenge. Christopher George, Robert Ginty, and Samantha Eggar star in this suspenseful tale of intrigue and cold-blooded murder by filmmaker James Glickenhaus, director of The Soldier. One man's twisted quest for vengeance soon makes him the kill-on-site target of the police. One man's twisted quest for revenge soon makes him the kill-on-site target for the police, the CIA, and the ruthless forces of the underworld. The tension mounts as the chase ensues, and anything can happen when the bullets begin to fly. Powerful, riveting suspense. 101 minutes, color. I always love how the backs of the boxes of these cheesy 80s action movies hype the film up to be something so much more intense than it actually ends up being.
And the front of the box gave me a different feeling of what the movie might have been, honest, to be quite honest.
Yes, and if you've ever seen the cover of The Exterminator, it is literally just a guy in front of a black backdrop with some smoke, and he's holding a fucking flamethrower and wearing a what looks like a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, and to me, I was like, oh man, this guy's gonna be like a fucking extreme, like vigilante. Like, this is gonna be on like even worse streets of New York, like Taxi Driver was, but maybe meeting the Terminator. Like, I thought we were getting an action movie. It turned out to be like kind of like a not as much on steroids hard target.
Right. Like, it's very... That's why I say it's very similar to Death Wish in a lot of ways. Like, it's very tame. It's literally just this one guy going around, taking out criminals.
Taking justice into his hands.
Yeah. And this cover definitely sells it as something that it's not. First of all, there's only one scene involving the flamethrower.
Yeah. And let me tell you, that scene happens like that.
Yeah, we're gonna get into some of how this movie plays out, but like, this movie's filled with scenes that just suddenly happen.
Hard cut.
There is no build to certain moments. Nope. It just jumps around really quickly.
There are some scenes where you're like, okay, that makes sense, and others where you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
I don't know, I wouldn't say it's hard to follow, but it's jarring is the best way I can put it. A couple of things I would like to mention are the music for the film is a little bit all over the place.
It's intense.
So, like, it features a lot of synth music, which makes it feel kind of like the score for a horror movie at times.
Yeah, especially in the beginning when they're still in Vietnam, where it's like, and I'm like, I was over trying to like pull the window shades down, going, is this ever going to end? Is this going to end? I'm getting very anxious.
Yeah, there's a lot of like a lot of sharp synth stabs, yeah, and like stings throughout the whole movie.
It's like if John Carpenter's like, look what I can do. Like, no, John, no, get out of here.
But they also mix in these like funky tunes at points, some dramatic jazz at other points,
and then full on staying alive. Yeah. They had actual like music, licensed music in this. I was like, damn.
Yeah, the most notable one for me was Burn Baby Burn.
Just going burn baby. Yeah.
They play this as he's like coming into the gang's hideout, but it's right not too long after the scene with the flamethrower.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, he's gonna go in and burn all these people, and then that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like, where's the flamethrower?
I think the music definitely could have been more fluidly put together. It really just throws you for a loop.
No, honestly, it's like the beginning of the 80s, the end of the 70s, like, makes sense. Because the movie, to me, doesn't feel 80s. It feels hard 70s.
That's true. And you know what? That's fine, because it came out in 1980, which means it was made at the tail end of the 70s. It was made,
like, end of 70s, beginning of the 80s, yeah.
And a lot of that filmmaking style and the feelings of the 70s would have carried into this one.
Yeah.
That's one thing a lot of people don't seem to really like catch on to, is like when you see a movie that came out in 1980, it's a 70s movie still. Yeah. It's very much going to follow the format of something made the decade before.
It's like, oh, this is an 80s movie. I really think that classification for films and for music should start like 72, 82, 92. You gotta wait for a couple of years for the decade to get its footing. Then it's got it. And then it doesn't want to let it go into the next decade.
Right. It's like anything else. Like, it's gonna take time for it to blossom into something different.
And oh, the 80s. Did you blossom?
Something worth noting early on, there's a lot of things in this movie that general audiences are probably gonna find triggering.
Yeah, I have a racism counter, guys.
There's a lot of racism. There's a lot of racism. There's a lot of sexism.
Like, and not, we're not talking like softcore sexism. We're talking, oh shit,
like pretty vicious sexism. Pretty bad.
So this one's got if shit makes you uncomfortable, and you really want to watch this, watch it with a friend.
And an earmark that I thought was worth noting was that this is one that you're going to look at and easily place it as a film from a much earlier decade. This is one that you're going to look at and be able to place as a film from a much earlier decade, because in both the opening credits and the end credits, we feature the Twin Towers quite heavily.
I mean, it was weird because I was in high school when the Twin Towers came down. I think you were in middle school?
I was in... yeah, second half of middle school.
Yeah, I was in 11th grade. You were in 7th grade. And it's very like, you base like your life on where were you when
this happened.
The Twin Towers hit. The other one for Rhode Islanders is where were you when the station fire hit. That's a big one for us, because that was a huge landmark in the town I grew up in, for God's sakes. And you always are like, oh, what year is this movie? And it's in New York City? Oh, there's the skyline, and it's weird to see now, because that's not the skyline we are used to now.
Yeah, we're so used to, for more of our lives than not. Yeah, like, yeah, the skyline has been without the Twin Towers.
Yeah, because the Twin Towers came down in 2001, and it is 2023. So it's been, this year will make 22 years.
22 years.
And for me, my life, it was up for 16.
Yeah.
So, and so, I'd never actually physically seen the New York skyline with the Twin Towers. I'd never been to New York prior to that.
No, I first went to New York long after that happened. And
during New Year's Eve, you crazy motherfucker.
No, that was the second time. That was the second time I'd ever been. First time I was helping a friend's sister move to New York.
Oh, you said that.
But
First time I ever really went, we were picking up a friend in Queens to go to Fright Fest at Six Flags New Jersey.
Oh, Jesus.
And all I remember is, you don't jaywalk in New York. And then the other person, or the person that lived there, went, you just walk wherever the fuck you want. No one cares. I was like, all right. And then the next time I went was during a blizzard for a K-pop concert. And we were blizzard in and we couldn't get out because the trains couldn't get out of New York. It was... But yeah, that those Twin Towers have never been in the skyline for me.
No, same for me. I honestly hadn't heard of the Twin Towers until
it happened.
It happened. Yeah. And then now seeing them in movies is just kind of... It's kind of interesting. It's like,
It's not a sad feeling or it's not a nostalgia feeling for us. It's, oh, that's right.
Yeah, you almost forget, like, it's been so long that you almost, like, forget that they were a thing. And then, not to, you know...
Diminish the event that took place. But it's one of those things where, now, for us, as elder millennials... How does that sit with you? Elder millennial.
Oh, God.
As elder millennials, for us, we remember where we were. My brother and sister do not. And my baby sister was born into a world where they never existed. So it's one of those things, like, it's just, oh, that's right, that happened. But we've gone on with our daily lives for 22 years, so.
Yeah, and we honestly don't mean to talk a whole ton about the Twin Towers. It's just, like, an interesting thing. I thought, like, seeing them in a movie like this just took me by
surprise. And they put a lot of time on it. Like, you've got a good solid minute where the helicopter is circling them and taking footage because it was one of the most predominant pieces of the skyline.
Yeah, and this this opening sequence as well as the ending titles, like, this, it all takes place during, like, you're seeing what we assume is either stock footage or they got a helicopter to fly through the city for a day. And it's just these aerial shots of, like, this is where this story is going to take place.
Yeah.
And they linger quite heavily around these two monumental buildings because they were, like, the center of the city at one point.
They were, like, the Empire State Building was this big predominant thing in the 1920s and on. But when the Twin Towers were built, like, they were a big thing. And I don't remember if you remember in the 90s, there was a bombing that happened at the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was down on the bottom
level. It was on the bottom level. And it just happened for, like, I don't know.
I don't know the full story on that.
I don't know either, but I was a little kid. You were a baby. So, yeah. Like, the Twin Towers have been... These poor fucking Twin Towers. That's all I have to say. They went up and then they came down.
They've been through a lot.
They've been through a lot.
And they've been immortalized more times than I can count on screen.
Oh, my God. And have you... Here's where we're going deep dive into the weirder shit. Have you ever heard of all the conspiracy theory stuff with 9/11? It was planned, it's been predicted, it was in cartoons. But you have to remember, this New York City skyline was what people thought of when they thought of America. New York City skyline, New York.
Well, that comes from the old thing of, like, people immigrating to America, they'd come over on, like, a boat and
go to Ellis Island, and then they'd filter Ellis Island. through that area of New York. And... Listen, I love conspiracy theories. I love listening to a good fucking juicy conspiracy theory. I will never say what my opinion is on a conspiracy theory, though. I find them juicy. That's all I'll say.
And sometimes they're fun to listen to.
Sometimes it's so great to be like, oh, what's this? What's this one? Click and hit play and listen to what people have to say. Do I believe in some of them? Oh, God, yes. Do I think some of them are a crock? More shit than you could stir up. But, like, the stuff about 9/11 you have to take with a grain of salt when you've lived through it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to a point where, you know, a lot of the people that were involved with, like, the recovery and the rescue efforts of 9/11, a lot of those people have died. You know, a lot of bad things came out of that shit. And I take all of those conspiracies with, like, a heavy grain of salt. It's like, we're not that far away from that. Can we wait a couple more decades to jump
far removed from the situation?
There is still a air of, like, politeness you have to have, in my opinion. Not politeness, like,
tact.
You have to have tact with this, especially with Americans, because we know other countries, you know, fucking London and Europe got bombed to bits. Japan got bombed a few times. You know, everywhere else has gotten through their own shit.
I've got some tactful theory for you.
Tactful theory?
You know who caused 9/11? Ginty.
With the flamethrower. It was Ginty on the edge of the plane with the flame. I don't know why he has his Arnold's voice. As he's going into the... we said we were going to try not to get canceled with the amount of racism. We're going a different direction.
Fuck him.
So, what I would like...
Ginty.
What I would like to get into with this, to close up this whole, like, discussion, is the psychological aspects of this movie. This movie almost gave me a mini Taxi Driver psych feeling, to where Taxi Driver did it well. This was like, oh look, PTSD. No, like, and it tried to touch on it, but it was more like, action, there's a reason, but action.
No, you bring up a really good point. Like, for a movie that is very cheaply made, it's very quick and dirty action.
They had little blips of psychologicalness into it.
It covers some very real heavy shit, the same way Death Wish did, same way Taxi Driver did. You're talking about this idea of vigilantism and, like, taking justice into your own hands, mm-hmm. because the justice system is failing to do so. It's a really cool idea to play with, and I actually think this one does it fairly well.
It's not Taxi Driver levels, but it's definitely better than Death Wish.
No, like, this is one of those ones that's like, you gotta step into it with the right frame of mind. The acting is not good. Action is fine. It's not the greatest action-packed spectacle you're ever gonna see. But if you go into it expecting what we expected, it's not a bad ride.
Yeah. This ride was enjoyable. I will be honest, I was not looking forward to doing this one. When I saw this pit, even when you picked this and I saw the cover of the tape, I went, I'm going to hate it. Spoiler alert, I did not hate it. I didn't. It actually kept my attention pretty well. And I wasn't bored through this one like I was a little bit with Death Wish.
And some things I want to note about this one is, like I just mentioned, like, the acting isn't good. Like, Robert Ginty's performance in this movie is so bland and fucking lifeless.
It's enjoyable, though.
It is very enjoyable for people like us.
He's white vanilla. He is white vanilla. Yeah. And I'm like, I still enjoy you, sir.
And I think his lifelessness works in the sense of he's...
hearkening to these psychological issues he's dealing with. Yeah,
like, he's supposed to be roaming through the city ruthlessly knocking off criminals. So it's like, yeah, you would be the Punisher. You'd be dead inside when you're doing that, which is fine. I think it works really well. It doesn't work in the scenes where it's like, oh, he's visiting his friend in the hospital, or he's visiting her, talking to his friend's wife.
I mean, more towards the end, it's there. But, like, in the beginning, when, you know, we see the opening parts of Vietnam and then we see the opening parts of the movie, he still has a little bit of life in him. Still a little bit. But I think once what happens to his friend happens, that's what took the last shred of humanity out of him. That was the snap. Yeah, that was, all right, killing people's fun. You know, and it does take a lot. And they touch upon another really hard subject, which is Vietnam. Vietnam was not good for anybody.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that Taxi Driver dealt with.
Yep.
Is like the idea of a veteran being back home and seeing that everything he fought for was just being diminished by people, by
hookers,
like,
and
criminals,
basically.
Yeah, and people basically ruining the country that they fought to like preserve.
Watching corrupt politicians. This touches that too.
Yeah.
Watching them just pretty much ruin people's lives and reputation, and the cops not doing anything. Spoiler alert, nothing's fucking changed in 30 something years.
No,
almost 40 years.
It is still like this. And
it is.
As sad as it is, like, and I know it's completely against the law and none of that is ever going to change. I can't help but somewhat agree with it.
Yeah.
With vigilante justice.
I agree
justice.
With Taxi Driver. I agree with Death Wish. I agree with the Exterminator.
More so, I agree with the message that these films are trying to convey. The idea of something more has to be done.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they take it to the extreme with movies like this and Taxi Driver and fucking Death Wish and everything, but just the justice system doesn't work most of the time.
And doesn't.
Sometimes you have like more, another form of action is needed. And unfortunately, like, we don't know what that is.
Swift kick in the pants or the dick. So let's go into this film, shall we?
Yes. So one last thing I'd like to talk about before I actually go into it, because describing this is going to be a little, feel a little bit all over the place.
Oh, the beginning?
The whole movie.
Yeah, it's
because this movie, it has some really rough, who am I kidding, piss poor transitions from scene to scene.
They are hard cuts.
It literally, this movie will just fade in and out from black suddenly.
Or a scene will go from one thing to a totally different other, and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, some are extremely jarring jump cuts. One example is, like, there's a scene where Ginty goes into this place called the Chicken Club, which I'll get into what that is. And he knocks out the club owner, and then it suddenly hard cuts, like, to the guy bound to like a bed and Ginty dousing him in lighter fluid. And it's like, what the fuck just happened? Like, how?
There was a scene there. It was cut by the studio. We'll never know.
They cut like a whole section like of that scene.
Because didn't they have to take the tape, the reels out, measure it, cut it, and then just somehow fix it together, and that was the cut?
Splicing tape, yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, what the fuck?
And then when it was all fully cut, they would reprint it onto new film. So it would be all one piece.
God damn.
So if this does feel a little jarring as I'm explaining it, I apologize. It's literally how the movie goes.
Mm.
So we kick this thing off in the heat of war. Dropped into the middle of a firefight in Vietnam. Our protagonist, Robert Ginty's playing John Eastman. And we see him and his squad as they're captured by the Viet Cong. They are tied to wooden stakes with several other men and tortured for information. Eastman refuses to give them answers. The Viet Cong commander decapitates the soldier beside him with a machete. Which I actually didn't realize he decapitated him at first.
No, not until they pan back over and you're like, oh.
Yeah, at first it just kind of looked like a neck slice, and then I was like, oh shit, his head came off.
Yeah.
Moments after this, his friend Jefferson escapes and kills the remaining soldiers. He unties Eastman, who then kills the commander. The film then shifts us to New York, which in like would be present day at this time, where both Eastman and Jefferson work in a warehouse. One day, Eastman catches a group of thugs called the Ghetto Ghouls. They're the main thug group in this movie.
Stupidest name in the world.
And they're trying to steal beer from the place that he works in. He is attacked, but Jefferson ends up coming to his aid. They beat the shit out of all the guys, knock them out.
Now, this is the second time that Jefferson has come to Eastman's aid. He saved him at Vietnam, and now he's coming to his aid here because Eastman was pretty much, like, they were going to shoot him in the head if he didn't, Jefferson didn't show up.
Yeah. Now, after this incident, so they defeat these guys, but the gang ends up returning to cripple Jefferson. They gouge his spine with a...
It's a little backhoe. It's a little...
It's like a little garden hoe thing.
Yeah.
Like, they just claw him in the back, and it, I guess, severs his spine or...
Paralyzes him permanently. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of... I have a lot of questions about this movie. A lot of things that are just
left
unsaid.
Let's try and answer them. Ask away.
So, like, one of the first ones is that when Jefferson's attacks... when Jefferson is attacked during this whole sequence, how the fuck did these guys know what area he lived in?
I think they might have followed him. I feel like this is days later.
But they don't. Days. Yeah, they don't tell you. Like, no. You just see them suddenly driving around his neighborhood and he comes outside. They just show up in their neighborhood.
He's like, oh, kids, goodbye. Have fun at school. And all of a sudden, like, they're jumping him.
And, like, it makes no sense. There's no, like, context to that. They just know where he lives.
Yep.
And now, after he's attacked, we get a small scene where Robert Ginty is telling Jefferson's wife about what happened, that he was attacked and he's in the hospital, he's paralyzed. Why is he the one telling the wife and not the police?
Because the police are the bad guys.
I mean, in the context of this movie, yeah.
Yeah, but the police aren't.
But here, logistically,
to preface this to our audience, I don't know if we've said this, Jefferson is a black man. The police didn't come to his aid.
Jefferson is, I think, the only black man of significance in this entire movie.
Whole thing. Like, they don't give a fuck about Jefferson at all. One bit. Because there's a bone I have to pick with this later in the movie.
Yeah.
Which, huge bone I have to pick with this. But, you know, I digress. But yeah, I believe they were also trying, like, to show the fight the power kind of thing. Like, oh, police don't care about.
So, all right. So I'll concede they did it just for the context of the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. That's fine. Anyway, so right after this sequence where you see Ginty telling the wife about what happened, this is one of our hard cuts to where we just suddenly see that Robert Ginty has captured and is interrogating one of the gang members with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
It just hard cuts. We don't get to see him get captured. He just has him tied up in a fucking dark room somewhere.
Hmm.
What the hell? I think this was the first moment where I was completely, like, thrown off. I was just like, what? How did we get here? Yeah, like, what the
wait,
fuck?
Where's the transition here? There are no transitions.
No.
At all. In the...
Immediately after this interrogation sequence, he then attacks the gang's base of operations with a assault rifle. Right after this interrogation, he then immediately attacks the gang's base with an assault rifle.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots one gang member and leaves two others tied up in the basement. I think he actually shoots them after, or at least one of them.
I think he asks questions and then shoots afterwards, which is a very smart move.
And apparently the place is filled with hungry rats.
Oh, yeah, because but when the police show up, they're like, oh, we got an ID, even though one of them was still alive, even though the rats ate half of his face off. I was like, oh!
We don't get to see any of that, unfortunately.
Oh, man. No, then it would make it a horror movie, sweetheart.
Wouldn't it be nice, though?
No, action and horror have no business being together.
Oh,
none.
I will prove you wrong.
No. By the standards of this film, it is not a horror. It is action.
Yes, I know. So the next few minutes of the movie are a lot of exposition for a lot of things. We learn that there's there's a meat mob. A fucking meat mob, guys.
There's a meat mob. There's a beer mob, and there's a meat mob. We find the beer mob right in the beginning, too.
Yeah, it's very early on. We actually, the meat mob has something to do with one of the meat companies in the city,
mm-hmm,
called Beef Packers Inc.
We laughed too hard at that.
We were dying.
Oh my God.
It literally at one point cuts to a hard cut to a truck pulling into what looks like a warehouse.
Yep.
And it's just the side of the truck just saying
Beef Packers. And it looks like a sideways pair of pants.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, they're making this so easy.
It's like a massive joke right in your face. Ginty ends up kidnapping Pontavini, I think was his last name, who was he's like the crime boss of that meat mob.
Yes.
And he chains him up above an industrial meat grinder in a warehouse.
We were so happy. It was a hard cut, but we were so happy to be like, oh, what's he dangling there for? Is that a meat grinder? Oh, and he doesn't disappoint.
He does not.
Oh.
So
he asks him where the combo for the safe is because he wants to steal the money that he's been stealing out of the pockets of the workers, because Now Jefferson family has to pay for all of this because they're not going after the mobster, the gang, for hurting him. So Eastman's like, fine, give me the code to your thing and tell me where it is. And he does. But there's an attack dog.
He doesn't tell him that he has an attack dog at his house. So Ginty goes to the house. He ends up getting attacked by the dog. He has to kill the dog, which my only note on that was, Ginty's a fucking dog killer.
It was either Ginty or the dog, man. I know. And Ginty made a choice.
But after taking care of the dog, we hard cut to him going back to the warehouse and just turning on the meat grinder.
And then the next thing you hear is, the remains of so-and-so were found in the basement of a meatpacking plant. And I'm like, Ginty, you beautiful bastard.
You sick fuck.
I love it. Now that is where I would have loved to have not had a hard cut away from that scene.
This is also where we get this information. This is where he is also dubbed the exterminator by the media.
Yep. Media's like, the exterminator.
And during all this is when we are introduced to the entire sequence with the, what was it called? The Chicken Club?
Chicken Club. So this dude buys and uses young boys of a certain age.
He buys them for his clientele who are interested in young boys for sexual activity.
And if they cannot get young boys, they take young girls off the streets. And I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Use Vaseline heated up with a hair curler or a soldering iron. I thought it was a hair curler at first. And teach them a lesson by burning them all over their chest. So now this beautiful prostitute is now branded.
This scene is probably, for me, it was one of the most fucked up.
It was for this. It was brutal. We've seen really fucked up scenes. You don't see it. You hear it.
But I honestly feel like that's worse.
Not knowing. Yeah.
Like, not knowing what exactly they're doing to her.
What they were doing.
But hearing the agony.
All you saw was them rip off all of her clothes. And you heard her screaming. And I was like, oh my God.
And my note about this scene was that, so, like, after the meat grinder scene, the producers suddenly realized, we don't have enough boobs, so here's some vile fucking rape for you.
And you know
just
what?
To get some boobs in there.
The VHS had some impurities, and it was a little grainy. I could not tell they were tits.
No?
No, I couldn't. And I had my glasses on. And I'm like, does she have, like, really small knockers, or am I just blind?
I mean, it was a pretty prominent shot of them.
I mean, maybe I'm just tired of seeing tits because I can see mine in the mirror. Look, boobs. Cool. So after that, Ginty meets a prostitute, a lady of the night.
Yeah, and this is the girl that we saw them do this to.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what his goal was. Was he just hooking up with this prostitute for the hell of it?
I have no clue. We're going to think that maybe Ginty was trying to be... We were going to hope that Ginty was trying to just be like a good guy and was like, I'm going to take this young lady off the streets. You know, maybe he was trying to be taxi driver. This is where it gets a little taxi driver-esque.
The movie gets very taxi driver here.
You're just kind of sitting there going, guys, didn't we do this in the 70s? Not that long ago?
But he goes up to a hotel room type of thing with this girl, and she goes to take off her top, and he sees all the scarring on her, all the burn marks. And obviously he's like, what the hell happened to you? And she explains what happened.
Yep.
And this kind of sends him, he's like, all right, I have to stop this. Like, yep, you're not going to be on the street anymore. Don't worry about it.
I'm taking care of you. And you kind of go,
mind you, we never see this woman again.
No, we never see her again. Next scene is him sawing out the tip of bullets and loading them with mercury.
This also never comes up again.
Never comes up. I had to Google this. Apparently, from what I read, not 100% sure, and if anybody wants to comment, please do. What I read was people would hollow out the tips of bullets, fill it with mercury, so if the bullet didn't kill you, the slow mercury poison would. That's fucking vicious.
That's really brutal. Like, I wish that had actually come up in the movie somewhere, but it never did.
Like, if they were like, toxicology reports came back and he used mercury or they were shot with mercury, so they had no chance. Like, at that point, you get mercury poisoning back then, like a lethal dose, you were sick and you were gone.
I think the problem is that they put this small nugget of an idea into this movie. But the course of this movie doesn't play out over a long period of time.
No.
It's like a few weeks. So even if, like, any of the people that he shot didn't die, there was not enough time for them to, like, implement the mercury poisoning killed him later.
Yeah.
Like, it just never happened. I like that it's in there, but I wish they had done something with it.
It's one of those things where you're like, so he's got sawed-off shotguns. He's got these assault weapons that you can only get if you were in the army or you went to Vietnam. And yeah. He's got mercury tipped fucking bullets. This man has officially lost it.
So needless to say, he ends up going back to the chicken club and killing these fucking people brutally.
Like lighting one on fire with lighter fluid. And then while one of them's naked or in his underpants, like shooting him with the mercury bullet.
Yeah.
And then he finds a kid. I'm going to say a kid. He had to be of legal age for the movie, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He was like...
But he looked like he should have been, like, between 15 and 17.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to hurt you. Just put on some pants. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
But it was Ginty, or whatever the fuck his name is, just sitting on the bed going, I'm not going to hurt you. Here, put on some pants. I'm going to unlock you. Come on, let's get out of here. As calm-faced as he could while this kid is practically crying. And I'm like, I think Ginty's lost his mind.
So following this, that we actually get a sequence where he ends up... This sequence kind of threw me off a lot. Because we see this old woman walking home through the park with groceries
at night. That would never happen, mind you.
No, she gets accosted by three more members of this Ghetto Ghouls gang.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat her... rob her, some other random citizen
pulls up on a bike
and like tries to stop it, but they threaten him, so they get away. Ginty comes out of the darkness randomly, comes out of the darkness, threatens the guy who pulled up to help the woman, steals his motorcycle, and then goes after these guys.
And then what is one hell of a chase sequence.
Yeah, this leads to a tremendously ridiculous chase sequence where he ends up shooting the driver of the car in the head, causing the car to veer off of a ledge and fucking explode.
Were cars just filled with explosives in the 80s and
90s? Oh, yeah, your cars had to explode in the movie.
Jesus Christ.
But it's an awesome scene. Like, I absolutely loved watching it. But it left me with the question... Why the fuck didn't, if he was around to see that this assault was happening, why did he wait for them to drive away to go after them?
Because he's fucking crazy.
He's a fucking madman.
I can answer that for you. He's fucking nuts. Yeah. Hey, Tatra, I got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
You want to buy the sheets?
Do I want to buy the sheets?
You want the sheets?
Oh my god.
That's not my favorite line in this movie.
No, but it was a good one.
Oh my god, this is like when they were talking, the prostitute and Ginty were talking about with the guy about how much the room would cost. They had to rent the sheets.
If they wanted fresh sheets, it would be $5 more.
If they wanted it cleaned afterwards, it was another $5. If they didn't have the sheets, and it's like, you want the sheets?
And the best part is the woman says yes.
Yeah.
She's like, we want the sheets. And he goes, you want the sheets again?
He looks at him and he's like, you want the sheets? And Ginty's like, she said yeah.
Yeah, gotta have the sheets.
Like, don't want them babies on the bed, you know?
Oh, God. So in the midst of all of this absolute mania happening, the CIA has heard of the exterminator and... they kind of reached a weird conclusion that, like, I forget what they said.
He's for the opposing political team, and he's trying to ruin their reputation. Newsflash, you're trying to ruin each other's reputations.
Yeah.
So just stop. Nobody likes any of you.
Oh, so this is what it was. So it's like, based on the current administration's promise to cut down crime rates, they believe the exterminator is either an opposite... is either an opposition party's stunt or a foreign power's ruse to humiliate the current administration by exposing their inability to handle the city's crime problem.
Look, politicians, I'm gonna level with you as a normal person. I have no idea what any of that means!
I mean,
you know what? If there's somebody out there who's killing people that are doing bad things, let them go!
I mean, I understand what all that means. It just, like, it's such a ridiculous leap for the CIA to make.
It's the stupidest leap for them to make.
Like, rather than just, oh, it's some guy knocking off scumbags, let's just assume it's a conspiracy.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's all here to ruin my political career. No, how about he's a normal person that's sick of the fucking douchebaggery that's happening?
And
never thought of that one, fuckface?
Something we haven't mentioned is that throughout all of this, we do meet Detective Dalton, who has been assigned to investigate all these exterminator murders.
Whom I'm calling young and not so creepy Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, you brought that up while we were watching this, and like I kept looking at him.
You cannot see it.
You do notice it. Like, it's in the way he like smiles at certain points, and like
he's got that his mouth is a little bit wider than the rest of his face, but not too wide.
It's not Willem Dafoe level.
He doesn't look like Willem Dafoe. Looks weird. This guy looks odd. He's not so quite Dafoe'd.
Yeah.
He's on the verge of Willeming.
Is that our new adjective?
Oh man, this guy went full Dafoe.
So the CIA from this point on is monitoring the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton discovers that the exterminator wears hunting boots manufactured by a mail order firm in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
He asked them for a client list in New York, and following that hunch, the exterminator may be a Vietnam vet.
Because there are a certain type of gun in one of the assaults that you can only get if you've stolen it or you're a veteran of the Army.
Correct. We go back over to Ginty as he visits Jefferson in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We see him actually visit him a couple of times throughout the movie. And this was something, those interactions were something I actually found very, very interesting about this movie. It was an element that I didn't expect to be there, but once I noticed it, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Because they include him, he's going back, he's visiting his friend, and each time he's confessing his actions to Jefferson.
Yep.
And Jefferson, he's paralyzed, he can't talk, he can't move. So he's sort of making Jefferson an unwilling accomplice to his crimes.
Yeah.
And Jefferson can't do anything to stop him or any of these things
from
happening.
I did this for you. And he's like, you can tell Jefferson's like,
he's like, what are you doing?
What the fuck?
You're killing people. What the fuck? I just thought that was such a cool idea to have in there.
It is interesting because now nobody realizes that he knows everything that's happened and nobody else does.
They can't question him about
it. They can't ask him. He can't even write it down. All you just do is
just
stare.
Oh. Unfortunately, in this scene, he asks Jefferson if he...
He's like, I'm just going to ask you this once. Do you want to continue life? And I'm like, blink twice if it's once yes, twice no. And then he asks him afterwards, do you want me to pull the plug? And he blinks yes. So it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a harsh scene. Like, it kind of sucks. Like, I didn't want to see Jefferson die.
No, but it makes sense. Like, this man has lost everything. Like, he can't work. He can't provide for his family.
Yeah.
He's paralyzed to the point where he can't even speak. He can move his eyes.
Yeah.
That is... This comes up to this thing that I read. We talked about this last night before bed. I don't remember all the details, but there was a man who was in a coma for 12 to 14 years. What they thought was a coma, but he was not in a coma at the age of 12 or 10 or 14. I don't know. He had a medical incident and was paralyzed. Paralyzed to the point he couldn't even open his eyes. He was stuck in hell for a couple, like over a decade.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jefferson was looking at. And you and I were like, nope, if that's the case, just
Just take me out.
Take me out. I can't do it. Nope.
So unfortunately, Ginty ends, he pulls the plug.
He kills his best friend.
And coincidentally, Dalton just happens to be at the hospital visiting the woman that he's seeing, who's
getting a little frisky, whose post is supposed to be outside Jefferson's room.
Yeah, this doesn't come out of nowhere. We do learn early on that he's starting to see this nurse who's working in the hospital, so it's all set up.
Everything's set up, yeah.
When they learn about Jefferson's death, Dalton kind of puts it together that the guy he just bumped into in the hallway is the exterminator.
Yep.
So he's now aware of who Ginty is. Ginty ends up trying to go home the next day, and the police have the place surrounded.
Which I've got a bone to pick with this scene.
Okay.
Ginty kills Jefferson.
Yes.
Afterwards, he goes to Jefferson's wife.
Yes.
The cop says, was he, what patient was that? Is that Jefferson? Oh my God, I think I just saw the exterminator. Put two and two together, guys.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If he's not at home, he's at Jefferson's. Or you should have checked Jefferson's first. He's not going to go home. Where's the first place he's going to go after being with Jefferson? To the family.
Yeah, you would think.
Like, right away I went, oh, he's going to get caught. They're going to go to Jefferson's. Why did you go to his house, you dumb fucks? You were going to caught him.
He's not the brightest bulbs we're dealing with.
No.
We got a very dim box here.
Somebody needs to put a halogen light in those fucking boxes. Goddamn.
So the police is staking out the apartment. Ginty tries to go home, but sees like
pulls up, and they're just hanging out on the roof.
In plain view.
And there was
a
cop car in front of his house that turned on and left, and he's like, no, I'm not going home. You fucking kidding me?
So he ends up keeps driving. He stops at a payphone, and he calls his house.
Yep.
And talks to Dalton. And they arrange a meetup so that he can kind of explain.
And what Dalton doesn't know is Dalton's phone is bugged.
Yes, the CIA has bugged Dalton, so nobody is aware of this. They know about the rendezvous, and unfortunately, when Dalton goes to meet with Ginty, they are ambushed
by
the CIA.
Yep.
And in this scuffle, both men are shot. Dalton is unfortunately killed, and Ginty falls overboard of the boat that they were on.
But Dalton is shot. Instead of telling Ginty to stay, he goes, run.
Get out of here.
He tells him to get out of there, which definitely, to me, is like Dalton was on his side the whole fucking time.
To me, it felt a lot like in Death Wish when at the end, the cops, when they figure out what he's doing for sure, they're like, no, you know what? I agree with what you're doing. Yep. Get out of here.
Yep,
and they kind of cover up everything for him.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, Dalton doesn't make it through this movie.
No, but Ginty survives because a true American hero and shows up on Ellis Island at the end.
Yeah, that was...
with a bulletproof vest! I went, that's American.
Turns out he was wearing a fucking bulletproof vest, but you know what? That actually makes sense. Why would he rendezvous with a cop he didn't fully trust?
This is true, and Doesn't this leave it open for The Exterminator 2?
Yes. And this movie actually has two sequels.
What?
This movie has two sequels. So there was The Exterminator 2 in 1984. No, it's just Exterminator 2. And The Exterminator Retribution in 2022.
I'm sorry, that's last year.
Yes, this one just happened. It's a super low budget, much shorter movie. It's like 51 minutes long.
Still a movie, though.
But I think that's really interesting.
Damn, that is pretty cool.
It's funny that we decided to do this movie and a new Exterminator film just came out.
Look, that's just like, okay, so last year we did Eyes of Laura Mars. A couple months later, we found Eyes of Laura Mars on VHS at our favorite antique place. And then a couple, like early December, we found Taxi Driver, one of the more original copies of Taxi Driver there. Maybe, just maybe, this place is magical and whatever movies we watch, we will find VHS copies.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool.
And you found a really good one this time. You found a pretty, pretty fucking sick one.
Yeah, we went recently and I was able to pick up the Vestron video release of American Werewolf in London.
Which is pretty sick. I mean, the cover, I will say the box and the cover look old.
Yeah, it's a little beat up.
They're old. But man, oh man, it is cool to see you pull down these newer ones and replace it with originals. We found the original version of Hocus Pocus that was released in 94, which I was like, woo! And we found a movie that is on a like tangible release type of thing that I've never heard from.
It's a CED, which is a format that was very similar to Laserdisc, that it came out around the same time as Laserdisc. And it had a very short run. It just didn't do as well as Laserdisc or eventually VHS and Beta. So this one, there's a handful of movies that got thrown out onto this format. And you have to have a special player to even watch them, which now I have to find one. But
oh God,
I picked up Streets of Fire. We just happened to come across it at this antique place and I was like, oh God, that's awesome. I have to grab that.
You actually looked at me and were like, is this worth it? I'm like, yes, it's worth it. You want to save all this media anytime we find, and I'm okay with, doesn't matter how many copies you have of it. If it's something you really like, get it. I mean.
Oh, that was another one where we picked up the Anchor Bay director's cut of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, now we've got
the
shit
two tape
of,
version.
Yeah. We have the really good version up there that you got probably in the same box, I think.
No, that one came in an eBay order. I'm
was an
sure.
eBay order?
Yeah.
But, or was the not the day, Dawn of the Dead, was it Day of the Dead? The next one.
I don't
One of
remember.
Them came out of
yeah,
that. One of the three came out of that. And I remember looking at it and you were like, this completes the set. I have all three. And I was like, damn. We are nearing. We went over 900 VHSs in the collection.
Yeah, we're creeping our way up to 1,000. Like it's growing very fast.
I think we're gonna get there because Christmas obviously just passed for us. Last year was really tough. We couldn't really do Christmas presents for each other, but we're totally fine with that. Let's save money. So this year we've decided instead of doing Christmas presents on Christmas, we're doing advent calendars for each other. And Sean's is going to be a VHS advent calendar. So there's 24 guaranteed. Yeah, we're going to do days 1 through 24. 24 days guaranteed of VHSs. So the way we're getting tapes lately, we're going to hit 1,000 by the end of the year.
Easily.
Sean, I need to ask you, where are we going to put another 80 VHS tapes?
I don't know.
We're 80 tapes
like,
away from
guys,
this.
Guys, you literally don't understand how small this fucking apartment is, and we have somehow managed to fit this many fucking tapes in here.
I mean, I'm actually considering, like, well, if I put some of my K-pop stuff in storage, we can store VHSs back there. Like, honestly, because no. I don't need, there's a lot of K-pop stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't need to explain, I don't need to display these.
We're not going
to
do that.
Oh, I don't need to have my candles, because I have a shit ton of candles, I have a problem. Every time I go into Bath and Body Works, Sean's like, no candles, and I'm like, but please, they smell so pretty. But yeah, like, I'm considering, like, where else can we hide VHS? I don't need books, right? I can put those into storage.
Oh, God.
Do we need the Blu-rays? Like, we just put the Blu-rays away.
Just put all the Blu-rays away. Just
honestly,
have tapes.
That's an idea. We put all the Blu-rays away and we just have VHS in the house.
Yeah.
We haven't firmed up the plans yet, but they're there.
There is no plan, guys. We're just flying by the seat of our fucking pants.
We don't even have pants on at this point. That's how crazy we are.
So that takes us through The Exterminator. Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to our closing questions?
Yeah, this movie was cut and dry, but I think the closing discussions are going to be longer than they usually are, just because this movie had thought behind it.
It did. It very much did.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have any favorites this time around?
So I had one favorite that I don't know if anybody, I don't know if you caught it. I don't know if anybody would catch it. It's right after we see the Beef Packers truck and the booze mobsters were going in and leaving. And I heard the comment, Cosmic Duck and Star Shit.
Yeah.
I don't believe this, Cosmic Duck and Star Shit. And I'm like, what?
That sounds like
what phrase was that?
That sounds like the greatest comic book duo I've ever heard of.
Either that, or it is the greatest way to insult somebody that's into astrology.
Cosmic Duck and Star Shit.
Honestly, like, oh, you're such a cancer. You believe that Cosmic Duck and Star Shit?
That is pretty good.
Whoa! Anybody who tells me I'm being a typical Virgo, I'm saying that to their faces. My other favorite scene had to be when Jefferson was getting jumped.
That was a pretty good scene.
Yes, that was,
it was
such
quick,
such a good scene. But I'm like, they tried so hard and it looked so fake.
Oh, it was bad.
I'm like, oh, but I appreciate the try. Also, the racism counter.
Oh boy.
Let's see. We had a hard 7. And when I tell you racism, I mean words we are not allowed to say as white people.
Oh God,
we,
no.
We will never say them. Ever. Never ever. Not as a joke. Not to be funny. We don't even say it to, like, good friends. It doesn't happen.
No, it's not a word that I care to use.
But the minute it was said, you and I looked at each other and we're like, whoa, it's that kind of movie. And I was like keeping a racism counter and it was pretty bad. So, trigger warning.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This movie is really rough.
This movie doesn't pull any punches. Mm-mm. Like, in basically any way.
No. But yeah, Cosmic Duck and Star Shit and You Want the Sheets?
You Want the Sheets? That's on my list too.
Oh, that I knew that one would be on your list. That's why I was like, I need a second one. I need a better one. What about you?
The only two other ones I have on my list are, I think you have to take a shit and it's coming out of your mouth instead of your asshole.
Who the fuck said that? I didn't catch it.
That, Dalton says that to the CIA guy.
Oh my God, I admit that's so good.
And, the other one to add to your racism counter.
Oh no.
Is that insert bleep here was my best friend, you motherfucker.
Yes!
Ginty says that to the guy he fucking, when he attacks the gang at their hideout.
Yes.
The first three guys he takes out.
Yep.
He says that to the last guy he guns down. It's because the guy calls him, oh, he says it's just a, he was just a N-word.
Yep. Honestly, that's where half of this racism counter came from.
Oh,
was
God.
That one freaking scene.
But that line, that was my favorite fucking line in the movie. Him
just,
saying
just
that.
Just say, because it wasn't the fact that he said it, being a white dude.
It was the
reasoning behind it, like,
vicious,
fuck you.
Like, the,
yes!
The hatred behind the line.
The,
it was
the
just,
fucking venom behind his voice. I was like, get him, Ginty, get him!
It was fucking gnarly.
Good. Oh, God.
Loved it. All right. Would you make this today? And if so, how and why?
No, because there's a better version in Taxi Driver, and I said I didn't want Taxi Driver to be remade. Yeah. I said it could do a limited series. That was it.
Yeah.
This is a Taxi Driver ripoff.
So somebody making this today would end up trying to modernize it too much like they did with Death Wish and fucking... Like, if you're going to make this today, just make another... revenge film.
This is Batman without the comic book behind it.
Just make a revenge movie. Just make a guy get wronged and go for revenge. Like, that's all this is. It's the same as Death Wish. It's the same as Taxi Driver. It's the same as
Taken.
Death Sentence, Taken. Like, all of these, like, revenge-fueled movies. This is just another one, and yep, it's fucking amazing the way it is.
Honestly, leave this alone. This is great.
I am so happy that I bought this on a whim. I had never seen it before this viewing.
Yeah, because you and I were like, oh, we've never seen it. Maybe we'll like it, because Red Letter Media covered number 2.
No, they covered this one.
They covered that. You said this was early on in there.
Yeah, they did this one early on. I think they also did Exterminator 2 later on.
I've seen the Exterminator 2 episode.
I'm pretty sure they did this one.
We don't know how far that channel. Oh, guys, I started smoking medical marijuana. I apologize now. Things are only going to get worse from here on out.
It's a slippery slope.
Oh, it is a very slippery slope, but I'm not in pain right now, so that's a plus. Like you and I both said, we don't know how far back Red Letter Media's channel goes. We've never tried to, like, watch everything yet.
I have.
You've watched every single thing.
Yes, at least
except
once.
For the stuff that they just started releasing weird stuff.
Recently, like there's a bunch of stuff on their channel that I had never seen was there before. Mm. I don't know if it's been there for a while,
or maybe
I just didn't see it.
The birthday boy went, let's unprivate all of these.
Yeah, but this is what I'm pretty sure they did way back, like one of the first Best of the Worst episodes or something like that. And
I wouldn't even want this in, like, this isn't the Best of the Worst to me.
I can see the reasons why.
I can see why they would put it there, yeah. But, like, to me, I'm like, maybe I just haven't seen good enough movies to know that this isn't that great. I don't know.
I just think this one is a lot of fun. Like, I had a lot of fun watching this.
I did. I honestly did. I was not looking forward to watching it this morning, and then we watched it, and I was like, okay, I kind of like this one.
I'm kind of into it. So, there's only one answer to this next question. Is it mainstream exploitation or other?
Exploitation!
This is absolute exploitation.
I don't know what category of exploitation we're putting this in, but this salted over many.
This would be like vigilante exploitation, I think. Or,
like, oh god. Mobster.
This is
gangster.
It's exploitation in its fucking purest form.
It's good. This is a good exploitation example for the first time of the year.
It's a quick, dirty, trashy action film.
It wasn't too long, even though it was like over an hour and a half too.
It didn't feel long. No. It kind of breezed by. Like even the first 10 minutes, because we had
the Vietnam sequence seemed longer than it actually was.
Yeah.
I will say that, because, like, it's just a war thing. We know it's going to be gritty and crazy.
Like, we at one point in watching this had to stop the video and then, like, start it again and, like, fast forward back to where we were.
Because we didn't realize how to press pause on the Xbox, because this is a cut VHS.
Yeah, we did a VHS rip.
Yeah, this is a VHS rip. We watched it on the Xbox and we're like, we need to pause. And we reset the movie. Oopsie.
But, like, that first 10 minutes felt like it was 2 minutes. Like, yeah. It moved so fast.
Yeah.
But this is exploitation.
Yeah.
Pure and simple. Oh,
pure in its finest.
Now, what type of exploitation do you think this is? I would probably say it's, like, vigilante exploitation, or even maybe just straight action exploitation.
I don't know. I'd like to put this in, like, vigilante revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vigilante revenge.
I would lean more towards revenge, because he was doing this out of the revenge of certain people, like Jefferson and the prostitute. Not really vigilante, like, I'm going to kill all the bad guys in the city. He was really aiming for, like, two specific types of people.
Right.
The mobsters and the gangster.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Do you have anything else that you want to talk about when it comes to The Exterminator?
No, this was a good one. This is definitely one that people, that if you love action movies, check this one out. This one's pretty good. Just be warned, there's a lot of heavy material, even though it doesn't feel like it's heavy. There is a lot of heavy shit in this. I can see why this is not a movie that they play on TBS on Sunday before the big game.
They'd have to cut a lot out.
Instead of an hour and a half, it would probably be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, that whole Mercury fucking in the... That was rough. Just going, why is he putting Mercury in that? Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I personally really like this movie. Like, I think it's a great example of like just a 70s, 80s action.
Yeah.
Dark vigilante revenge gritty movie. It's, yeah, it has its problems. It's got, its editing is a little shitty. Its acting isn't the best, but it's fun as hell to watch.
Oh God, yeah.
It is going to be entertaining, especially if you love cheesy ass movies. I personally love cheesy ass movies.
You do love cheese. You love any cheese, just pure, unadulterated, just cheesiness. And it's beautiful.
But I think this is going to bring our discussion on The Exterminator to an end.
Are we exterminating it?
We are exterminating it, at least until Exterminator 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
But don't go anywhere just yet. Please stay tuned for the coming attractions.
Agar is the nice-looking young man, introduced by John Hoyt to pretty June Kenney. And when boy meets girl, well, they do what comes naturally. But the loss of love has made this mild-mannered man into a maniac. A maniac who wants to make you a plaything. And the fearsome fact is, he knows how to do it.
I'm your friend.
How would you like to be a living doll this madman can do with as he pleases? A monster his own woman had reason to flee. See, the world that the child in each of us knows. See, a baby doll take a bubble bath in a coffee can.
What are you talking about?
Sally.
Tell her. He said tonight
he was going to kill us all.
It only takes one of us to go for help.
Feel the fantastic fear of living in a normal world. But being dwarfed by people many times your size.
So this next one was your choice.
It definitely was my choice.
Why exactly did you choose Attack of the Puppet People?
So I decided that I wanted to go deeper into cinema history this year. To where last year I tried to stay kind of safe with like fun 80s stuff or things that I'm used to. I went deep into putting myself in, Dad, I want to be with you, and cut the whites of your skin. I really enjoy 30s, 40s, and 50s film. And I tried to go, what movie is going to be ridiculous? And I read a little bit of the synopsis for this one. It's from 1958. It's a black and white science fiction horror film. And I was like, I'm in. Let's do it. I know nothing about it. That's it.
Yeah, this is not one I've seen before. Nope. I've heard of it many times.
Oh, but yeah. This is probably one of those ones like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, shit like that. Like, you've heard those weird science fiction movies. Attack of the Puppet People is pretty famous from the 50s, so. But I've never seen it, so I was like, let's do some fun ones.
I'm always up for a good old black and white film.
Oh, yeah.
I think this one should be fun to talk about, and, you know, I do like going back and looking at these, like, these black and white, like, classic films.
Back in the heyday of Hollywood, the 30s, 40s, 50s. In the 60s is really where it started to change. The 60s for film became something different. But, like, prior to, like, I would say 1962, before that,
You had these movies that they just churned out with these crazy little special effects, and just I want to experience this one.
I agree.
I want to experience it with you and all of you.
Every one of you sad sacks listening to this fucking podcast.
Hey, those sad sacks are enjoying our voices every week.
I'm sorry.
We appreciate you.
No, we really do. We really appreciate anybody who listens to this.
Don't use sad sacks. You're not sad sacks. You're wonderful people.
We appreciate anybody who takes the time to listen to this, because honestly, we do this for fun.
Yeah.
We don't do this for anything but our own entertainment. We always wanted to do it, so.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why not?
If any of you like it, great.
And this morning, I pulled up my personal Facebook, and it was the first share I made of Grindhouse 1 year ago today, and I was like, oh dear God, there it is. It's real. It's in black and white right there. Nope. It was a year ago that we really started pushing this.
And here's to another full year.
Full year. It is now officially 2023 right now. Christmas is over. Thank God.
Yeah.
Christmas was crazy this year because my family came up, so I was not home a lot of the times. I was at my sister's new house the whole time, and I was exhausted. I was in so much pain. My chronic illness is really kicking what tiny of an ass I have right now. And I've been on the medicinal marijuana train for about, what you say, like really hard for about 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
I kind of hate it. I don't like the feeling of like being stoned. I hate it. But the perks that it comes with is I'm not in any pain. The other perk it comes with is when I watch stuff or do stuff, my filter fucking goes.
So this should get a whole lot more fun as we go along.
Because some days we'll do this, and the days that we decided we're going to record are Sundays for us. And we're like, we want to get at least the minimum of doing one movie, the maximum of trying to get three. My max is three. And lately, it honestly, like when we recorded the 5 hour recap, it was like the beginning of December.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, we're going to get on top of it. We're going to do all it. Needless to say, life happened and we barely recorded in December. And
yeah, we're now playing catch up.
We are definitely playing catch up, but like, we've always said, and I say it many times, I want to be transparent about what's going on in the lives of us.
Yeah, and if we can't get ourselves back ahead, I mean, at least you guys will be kind of along for the ride with us.
Yeah, because at one point, like, we were recording 2 to 3 months in advance, and we're like, oh yeah, by the time you're listening to this, it's my birthday, but it's really fucking June, you know? No, like, this is getting released next week.
Yeah.
So it's... I kind of like it, but it's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
So if there are some episodes where you're like, Leah doesn't sound like herself, it's because I'm not. I'm very much here, but I had to change a lot of my medications, unfortunately, because, you know, body just can't stay on a lot of medications for very long. So now I'm really looking back on those days of dare, don't do drugs and say, you guys were liars. You guys were absolute dirty liars. Because the best, it's not, I won't say doing drugs is rough. Don't do them. But when there are days where I'm in a lot of pain because my chronic illness is advancing, unfortunately, and had a nice surgery on my ankle, thought it would be better. I am the same as I was before I went in for the surgery.
Hooray.
Same pain, same everything. Only now I can tell you why it's there. It's not a why is this happening, it's a, oh, I know what I need to do, and it's going to take me 20 to 30 minutes to get it to stop. So, every day is a new learning day.
It is.
So I'm going to pick specific ones of these to actually be stoned out of my mind to watch, because I'm hoping maybe it'll be. There's already a couple movies I'm like, oh, Action USA, I think this is on the list this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be fucking major stoned for that. I don't want to watch Action USA. I've watched Action USA with Red Letter Media. I don't want to watch it in real life.
Oh, we're going to watch it.
Oh, no.
All right, that's going to bring today's episode to an end. If you want to keep up with everything that we're doing, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Grindhouse Podcast. We're on Twitter at Grindhouse Cast. Find us on Discord where you can chat mostly with Justice with Leah about this film or any of the films that we've previously covered, you can suggest us some movies. We honestly love to hear from you guys and hear what you want to hear us talk about. All the links for everything are going to be down in the show notes. Listen to us first thing every Monday morning. Give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your morning fix. If you like what we're doing and you want to show this show some support, you can find us over on Patreon, or you can support us directly through Acast, where you can get yourself access to ad-free listening or unlock some fun exclusive bonus content that we are still trying to put out for you. Unfortunately, it's taking us a lot longer than we hoped it would, but we do have a couple of episodes out already. So there's a little something out there. This stuff is just for our supporters, so if you do decide to support us, you'll get something out of it.
Yes.
Until next week, I'm Sean.
I'm Leah.
Thank you for listening, and don't get yourself exterminated.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.